Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and Manhattan. You are listening to BashaniRadio.com. New York City, always talking about everything.
Welcome to the Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z on Bashani Radio, iHeartRadio, and iTunes. Bashani Radio, always talking about everything from New York City. You can listen to the Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z on any mobile phone or tablet device. The Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z, where we explore tech and enjoy the music. Please follow us online at www.ladyze.com and on all social networks at ladyze. That's Lady Z. My next guest is the fabulous founder and CEO of IT Tech Pros Incorporated. This tech executive is an award-winning business owner and entrepreneur. She is also the founder of Alpes Athletics. Now, this startup you want to look out for, ladies, because there's going to be a lot of great athletic gear for your working out. You want to keep an eye out for that. And, you know, she's building on a growing list of accolades, starting with the Asian Heritage Association's Excellence in Entrepreneurship Award in 2010. Kathy also enjoyed a banner year in 2013, where her company, IT Tech Pros, was named the 2013 Supplier of the Year class won by the Women's Business Enterprise Council West, that's WBEC West, as well as the 2013 Minority-Owned Business of the Year awarded by the San Diego District of the Small Business Administration. Wow, what an amazing list of accomplishments. Welcome and good day, Kathy David. How are you today?
I am excellent. Thank you.
Great. I am so excited for my listeners to hear about your journey as a tech executive and what you're doing with your company. So what does IT Tech Pros do for all my listeners who are just being introduced to you?
Sure. Well, IT Tech Pros has been around since 2006. And we are an IT managed service provider and security solutions for small businesses. And essentially what we do is we help businesses run their business through the use of the latest technology, cloud, networking, and computing solutions. So that's, in a nutshell, what IT Tech Pros do for small businesses in essentially the United States. We're based out of San Diego County, but we do service customers all over the nation.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. So you have a national customer base. That's awesome. Yeah. So what was the impetus for you starting IT Tech Pros?
Yes. So I'm going to take you back to my previous life before IT Tech Pros.
Okay.
I was actually in corporate finance for 9.5 years. And okay. I worked for a Fortune 500 bank, and I specialized in small businesses. So small business banking was my specialty for the last 6.5 years.
Okay.
There. And so I worked a lot with small businesses. And to tell you, Z, I was really impressed and really admired all of my small business customers. Mm-hmm. And I just knew one day that I would be a small business owner myself. So mm-hmm. Really interesting, because about 8 years into my career, I knew I needed to do something. I just had like this intuitive knowing that I needed to start something. And it took about a year for me to get the guts to quit. So mm-hmm. I essentially quit about 9.5 years working for the bank. And I really didn't know what type of business I wanted to start.
Okay.
But I left. Mm-hmm. And my husband, who has been in the IT field since 97, I think this was about a month into me leaving the bank. We had a conversation and he just said, hey, you know, it'd be nice to, you know, start our own business and provide IT services to small business. And for me, it was like a no-brainer, because I've been in corporate finance for 9.5 years. I was also assistant vice president and bank manager, and I knew how to run a business. And during my time at the bank, I also went through 4 different mergers and acquisitions. And when we went through that, there was a lot of technology turnover as well. And being mm-hmm. that I was the bank manager for the branch that I managed, I was really the point of contact with the project management team during the technology turnover. So I was exposed to project management and technology refreshes.
Right.
Then my husband, who's an engineer, also, you know, came from enterprise biotech, and he's also worked for government. And so we were like, hey, you know what? Not a problem. I can do this. Let's do it. And it was that simple conversation that started IT Tech Pros. And I immediately went out, started networking. And within like, I think a few months, we landed our first client. And then 8 months into the business, I was able to convince my husband to leave his IT director, IT manager position at a biotech firm to take on IT Tech Pros full time. So that was in 2006, and here we are 13 years later. That's how the company got started.
Wow. Well, I have to say, not many husbands and wives can work together this effectively. This long. Kudos to you.
Thank you.
So I want to, so you have the cloud-based, the project management, the ERP systems and everything else, but I'm really interested in the cybersecurity aspect of your business. So this year, at the beginning of this year, there was this big law change in Europe with GDPR, you know, data privacy, data security. How have you been helping your clients with cybersecurity solutions to help secure their data that they use and collect from customers in order to provide their services? What have you been doing in that arena?
Sure. So a lot of the GDPR are really more in around websites, right? Collecting data from websites. So we do not do web hosting or web management. However, we do help customers get the SSL certificates needed.
Okay.
If they're not working with a web company or a web hosting company that will provide that for them. Mm-hmm. On the network side of things, as far as security is concerned, you know, that is something that we make sure that they've got the right systems, right? So from firewalls to antivirus software to content filtering and really preventing any cyber attacks from happening from the network level.
Right.
And also from the end user level. So we help customers put together the proper framework to make sure to minimize any outside intrusion. So those are two different pieces. So you've got the GDPR, which is, you know, web-based collecting data, making sure that when you're on the e-commerce part of the website that it is secured and encrypted.
Right. So
typically that's handled by the hosting company. If not, we do help our customers get an SSL certificate purchased and make sure that it is connected to their website. And then from the ground level, make sure that they're compliant. And so one of the biggest thing is the National Information Systems, NIST. There is this government requirement for cybersecurity, and a lot of our customers have to be in compliant with those standards. And we do help. We do help to make sure that our clients are compliant, that for companies that do business with the Department of Defense, that they've got all of the things covered to be compliant with that regulation.
Right. So I want to go back to SSL. Can you share with our listeners, for those who don't know, what that stands for?
Yes. Yeah, so it's Secure Socket Layer. And it is basically what that is a way to, again, it's an encryption, right?
Right.
It's basically making sure that any data that is typed on a website cannot be stolen or intercepted. If, again, I want to put this in layman terms, I don't want to
So
it's
I appreciate that.
Yeah. No, I get it, because not everyone is, you know, techno geeks like you and me.
Right. You know, we eat and breathe this stuff on a daily basis, but I know some of my listeners are not well versed in the realm of digital technology.
Right. But, so having an SSL certificate ensures that your session on the website you visit is encrypted. So for a website, that is not encrypted. Think about it this way. If you're purchasing a product and you're entering your credit card and your all of your personal information, it's just like you basically entering your data on a Word document. Mm-hmm. It's not encrypted. So if there is, it can easily be stolen and intercepted by, you know, third parties and let's just say, lack for better words, hackers. So right, they can take that information, exploit it, sell it to the black dark web.
Right.
For in exchange for money. And actually every credit card information, there's a dollar amount tied to it. And the last time I checked, every credit card account that is sold in the dark web, I think it's like $10 per credit card, maybe even more. Mm-hmm. So I haven't checked that. Now, one thing to watch out for is when you are going to those websites that you do have the HTTPS on the web address. So HTTPS :// that will let you know if the website is compliant and has an SSL certificate and that your session is encrypted. So when you are purchasing something, it's got the encryption necessary that prevents hackers from intercepting your data and stealing it.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I'm so glad you explained that. So our listeners are listening to the Jazz and Tech Lounge, where we explore tech, and we're exploring tech today and enjoying the music. So,
and you know, I want to share something with you. A few years ago, and this is a popular app that people used. It's, what is that app? It's Venmo.
Oh, yes,
Venmo. By PayPal.
Right.
For a number of years, they didn't have the proper encryption. And so millions of data was being exchanged over the web, basically just in text form. And they just corrected that like 2 years ago.
Imagine. Oh, wow. I've never used Venmo, so. Yeah.
So, but it is important that when you go to a website, and especially when you're purchasing or entering your data, even your email, your name or email, that it has the HTTPS on the URL.
Right. And, you know, I've declined finishing some transactions because I didn't see the HTTPS. So that's definitely a concern of mine. I'm glad you clarified that. So one thing I've seen happen in the networking world, because when I was in college, my father and my mom, they had a networking company, and we worked on several different things. And I've seen companies have their routers with the default password, no password, you know, all this, just the network, just all exposed.
Right.
So can you talk a little bit about like the steps to securing the pieces of the framework, as you to use the verbiage you use, the framework of your network, to make sure you don't get your data stolen or compromised or hacked?
Yeah, so you make a good point about default username and passwords. And what often the standard is when you're buying hardware off the shelf, and I'm just gonna again take this down to the ground level. Mm-hmm. If you are a homeowner, or if you have a small office, or you're working from home and you're buying a router off the shelf or even over the internet, if you are tech savvy enough to where you could install it yourself, make sure that you at least change the default username and password, because oftentimes it's just default admin, password 000, or password 123.
Right.
People usually will just install it and leave that as is.
Right.
There is something that you would call a textbook hack. And hackers love to basically, they've got their own software and bots to automate how they crawl the web and identify all of those devices that have default username and passwords.
Right.
So if you keep it by default, there is a potential of you, your network getting hacked without you even knowing. And basically, you know, getting into your computers and stealing your data. So if you get a new hardware off the shelf or over the internet, it's just really quick. Change the username and the password. That's very
absolutely
The other thing is work with your internet service provider. And if you don't know how to install or at least have some understanding that you are closing the ports that are supposed to be closed and not leaving all of the ports open.
Right.
So another part of the configuration of firewalls. Again, by default, there are certain things that are left the way it is and then leaving. So this is a great example. I like to take this down to the ground level once again. So it's just like you installing a new door,
mm-hmm.
right? So the door is like the firewall. You put the door right. in. If you don't have the proper ports, then you're not making sure that you have the right key or the right locks to secure the door. And also another layer to that is possibly adding a deadbolt.
Right.
And then if you want to add an extra layer of security, possibly putting a gate in front of your door.
Right.
So again, a firewall is just basically the door. You have to make sure that you've got the right lock and key, you've got the right deadbolt for that additional security, and you want to add to that. So you don't want to keep it open and exposed for people to just basically, or hackers to just crawl and identify your open ports and crack into your firewall without you knowing.
Right. Absolutely. So that's very valuable technological information for all my homeowners and business owners who have networks by which they're accessing data and exchanging data and, you know, accessing the internet. So
to be honest with you, this is also common with business networks that have IT staff or IT consultants that put routers in that they even miss, you know, to configure routers properly. So make sure that if you are a small business owner, you get and hire someone that is experienced in making sure that they're properly locking down your firewall.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So my next question is, how can people contact you if they, you know, they're a small business and they want assistance or consultation to secure their network? How would they reach out to you?
Yeah, so go to our website. It's ittechpros.com. And our phone number is there. It's easy for people to contact us. Or another easy way, if you don't remember ittechpros.com, kathydavid.com. I've got my link on there for my company, so it's easy for you to also reach out to us that through my website.
Okay, that's awesome. Yeah. So you have another company in development that's in the pre-launch phase, and it's I'd say wearable technology.
Yep.
Right. Can you talk a little bit about it?
Well, it's definitely wearable. I have not integrated technology into it yet, but that's
okay.
Next phase.
Okay.
So my startup company is called Atlas Athletics. It's an athleisure and fitness apparel brand company, and it is the home to the first world ever strapless sports bra. I invented
it. Can you say that again?
Yes. Did I?
So, I want the ladies listening to really get that in their spirit.
So I invented the strapless sports bra.
That is so cool.
And I am in the final stages of product development. So I know for most of the ladies, you get it. You know, I have a love-hate relationship with my sports bras. I'm not big busted, but dang, you know, those things are hard sometimes to put on. And especially after you've gone through like a hard workout and you sweat, it's so difficult to remove also. Mm-hmm. Now, I live in Southern California where the weather is like 85% sunny, and I love being outdoors, and I do spend a lot of time outdoors, and I hate getting tan lines. So back in 2016, I spent about eight weekends out by the beach and just hiking and jogging, and I came home, and again, I just had like massive tan lines all over my chest, shoulders, and back. And at that time, I was like, hey, you know what? It's 2016. There's got to be a product out there that's strapless, that's sports performance. And I scoured the internet and I didn't find one product that was sports performance and strapless. And mm-hmm. that's where I thought, like, this is interesting. So maybe there's an opportunity here.
Right.
So I grabbed a bunch of my sports bra. I cut them all up and looked at some other fabric that I thought could work. And my first prototype, I call it my Frankenstein prototype. I'm so embarrassed to show it, but maybe one day I'll have it in like a museum or something.
Right.
I went out, I tried it on and I put a shirt over it, obviously, because just in case it didn't work, I didn't want to be exposed if it fell off while I was jogging. So I tried my first handmade Frankenstein prototype. I went down Solana Beach and I jogged for 5 miles. And I was just so happy. I was like, oh my gosh, this works. It stayed on. And then that's where, you know, my journey started. And I went through several different designs and iteration. And last year, I finally found someone that was able to give me my first semi-professional prototype of the product. And it's just beautiful. And then it took me a while to find a production company to help me with manufacturing. And I've been working with a company based out of Los Angeles.
Okay.
And sourcing out the bra cup manufacturer because it's a special bra cup that's not made yet. That's going to ensure that the bra provides full support for the wearer. And just waiting for molds to arrive so I can finalize the final product.
This is exciting. This is really exciting. I can't wait to get my strapless sports bra.
So what the problem it's solving is obviously, you know, vanity. I know it's like people like, who cares about tan lines? Well, a big majority of women do care about tan lines, but that's not the main problem that it's solving. It's an alternative solution. The sports bra industry hasn't changed since its inception.
It's pretty much the same design.
So the innovation here is there are no straps. And then the other thing is it's easier on, easier off. And I call it, it's got a dual hug enclosure. So, I can't really share much right now.
Right. I
when
understand.
You put it on, it's like, oh my gosh, I'm being hugged right now. It's so comfortable. My first prototype is a double D. I mean, the professional one. I'm not a double D.
Right.
But I needed to make sure that it can withhold at least a, you know,
right,
that size. So my first line, I am going as big as double D, and then from there I'm going to work my way up, because I do have some friends that have larger bust size than a double D,
right,
but I want to make sure that I keep it simple for now for an easier launch, and then I can just expand from there.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow. I can't wait to get mine.
I can't wait to get mine either.
Yeah, and so when I'm doing my jump rope, I do a jump rope cardio workout. So that'll be really good. So I don't just flap in the wind, you know.
Right. And imagine once you're done working out, you don't have to try to dislocate a shoulder.
Right.
To remove it. I mean, there are bras that you can zip from the front. That's fine.
Right.
But, you know, not many women wear, you know, the sports bra that's
right
in the front.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's just a different solution. But imagine being able to just, you know, slip it off easily and then you're done with it.
Yeah, that's awesome. Awesome, awesome. So I'm really excited about your startup and what you're doing with IT Tech Pros, Inc. I do have a couple of questions for you. This is the Jazz and Tech Lounge.
Right.
And so I have a music-related question and a technology-related question. So my technology-related question is, Mac or PC, which do you prefer?
Great question. I am a PC user.
Mm-hmm.
However, I think Macs are wonderful devices as well. And it's just a matter of preference, to be quite honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
I know for years there's this PC and, you know, Apple battle. Mm-hmm. And it, again, it comes down to preference. I've just always been a Windows and PC gal. I've had Macs. They work great for certain things, but I just really am more of a PC person. But I can't say one is better than the other. Mm-hmm. It's just, again, based on personal preference.
All right.
That's probably not what you wanted to hear, but.
No, I mean, I get a kick out of all my guests, and they give me their preferences. I enjoy hearing everybody's perspective because, you know, the tech industry is so varied. Right. And, you know, I know from what I do with optimization and the SEO queen hat, mm-hmm. when I'm wearing that, I mm-hmm. use both PCs and Macintosh, or right. Apple computers. Mm-hmm. So I toggle both worlds daily.
Yes, and we do work with companies that have mixed environments. We also work with Macs, mm-hmm. and we have a company that works purely with Mac computers. And again, there's really no better computer. It's just whatever works for you and what mm-hmm. you like to use.
Right.
I love technology, just like you.
Right, absolutely.
And I appreciate all of it, yeah.
Right. So my music-related question is, Michael Jackson or Prince?
Okay.
Who do you prefer?
I'm a Prince gal. I love Prince.
I could see that. You play guitar, you sing, so you have that you share that in common with Prince.
I do like Michael Jackson. I remember, you know, growing up listening to some of his music, but Prince for me just took me to a different level. Mm-hmm. I just love his creativeness, and he's just out of the box thinker. And right. I think that's what I can relate most with mm-hmm. Prince, and, you know, his style, his fashion, he's just something else. I resonate very much with Prince.
That's a great answer. That's a great answer. So you've been listening to the Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z, where we explore tech and enjoy the music, and my lovely, talented, successful guest is a fabulous founder and tech executive, Kathy David, who is the CEO of IT Tech Pros Inc. and the upcoming company, Alpas Athletics. So
yes. I want to share with you, Alpas is a Tagalog word. I'm originally from the Philippines, and it means to break loose, to break free.
Alpas means to break loose or to break free.
Yes.
Wow. So not only do we get, you know, all this technology know-how with SSL, but we've learned a Tagalog word. How awesome is that?
Apas, yes.
Apas. That is great. So it has definitely been a pleasure having you on, and I look forward to my listeners hearing more from you. And definitely stay tuned and follow us on the Jazz and Tech Lounge .com and our social media to see updates about our guests and Kathy David's upcoming product launch, company launch, and everything else. So thank you so much, Kathy.
Thank you. I'm so glad I got to be on your show.
Thank you. Thank you for accepting my invitation. My invitation. My invitation. My invitation.
Stay locked in and fully loaded. Bashani Radio and Verke Radio. They said we couldn't do it, but we global now. Worldwide. Boom. In your face.